to call your attention today to a passage beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Now, it might seem odd to you that we're going to start with the last verse of a chapter, okay? Seems odd to start with reading there. It seems odd maybe to start a sermon there, but you'll see that it actually introduces what is often referred to as the love chapter. And that verse, in verse 31, just says, "And now I will show you a more excellent way." And we're going to see in context that excellent way in chapter 13 is love. The most excellent gift, the most wonderful gift. In this discourse, actually, that Paul has throughout the Corinthian letter about gifts of the Spirit, so many people were perceiving that the greatest gifts that they could ever receive from God might have been speaking in tongues or gifts of healing or gifts of prophecy. And all those gifts were good and blessed the church. They were phenomenal. They were great gifts. But Paul is going to set the record straight that the most excellent gift of all is none of those or any others but this gift of love. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, page 1786 in the Pew Bibles, the Apostle Paul goes on in verse 1. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." Then in verse 4, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." In verse 8, he says, "Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, though, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these was love." Now, even before I realized that this was going to be the weekend for Valentine's Day, I decided that this would be the text that I would be looking at. And in context, once again, Paul is reminding us that believers often fixate on the wrong things that they want and desire in life. They often fixate on things they believe that will benefit themselves, seek gifts that make for their lives to be more enjoyable or pleasurable or will be making their lives more comfortable. And yes, believers often focus upon gifts that they believe will help them to have a more dynamic worship experience. Meanwhile, the world perishes due to a lack of genuine love. Love is the most admired and appreciated trait in all of the world. People don't have to be believers in God or believers in Jesus to recognize that love is such a valued, precious gift. Yet it's also perhaps the most misunderstood and abused of all things. Lust is not love. We are sold that bill of goods, but lust is not love. Lust is about pleasing self, or finding something that will please self. It's not about giving. It's about wanting to receive. Guess what else isn't love? ignoring destructive behaviors in those we claim we love. I don't know how many times people have been manipulated by such deceptive ideas that lust and tolerance can perpetuate. If you love me, you'll do what I want. If you really love me, you'll let me do what I want. If you really love me, you'll accept me the way I am, which often translates into you'll approve of my choices. How many parents recognize the fallacy in that logic when you're talking to your children? We realize that, you know what, you're believing is love and what real love is are two different things. But yet, when we grow up, we allow ourselves to be deceived by those worldly concepts. We don't recognize it so easily when adults try to pull the same things, do we? What is being sold as love is really selfish manipulation. I doubt that many people in the world particularly perceive that love is a gift from God, let alone do they get it that it is the greatest spiritual gift anyone could ever possess. We saw last week that the very first thing listed among the fruit of the Spirit was what? Love. And from what Paul says here, it seems that anyone who claims to be led by the Spirit but lacks love in his heart is deceiving himself. And at the end of the day, it's going to profit him nothing. It will gain him nothing. It will benefit him nothing. No matter what he does, in the name of love, if it's not motivated by love, it will benefit nothing. He says that time and again, doesn't he? Love will be demonstrated. Love will be seen because love is active. It's active. But yet it can't be recognized by physical activity alone. People can and do things that can pass for love, but once again, are not motivated by love. Upon closer examination, you can find out that those things they do are not really acts of love. Ladies, some bouquets of flowers and boxes of candy are not really acts of love when they're given to you. Some are given for other motivations. They're given not because they want to bless you or express love, but because they're hoping what they might benefit from in an exchange. Do you hear me? And guys, if every kiss really does begin with K's, she might not really love you as much as you think she does. Understand? Because if it's about stuff and giving stuff in hopes of what we're going to receive in return, it's not love. A closer look at verses 4 through 8 of our text should affirm that the way of love might be summed up in a sense with the fruit of the Spirit. Let's just see this. It's something I had not seen before. It's something that I just was kind of amazed by. Look at this. We're told in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is patient. What is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Patience. Love is kind, we're told. What is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Kindness. We're told that love is not rude. What is one of the fruit of the Spirit? Gentleness. We're told that love is not self-seeking. That sounds like self-control to me. It's not easily angered. That sounds like peace to me. It does not delight in evil. There's goodness. It rejoices. There's your joy with the truth. It always perseveres. There's faithfulness. Interesting. That the fruit of the Spirit tells us that the Spirit's traits within us will all be in association with or flowing from the preeminent fruit, which is what? Love. Does that surprise you? It shouldn't. I mean, we understand, to some degree at least, we know something at least of the love of God, do we not? He's the author and the perfecter of love. Love originates with God. Love again grows because of God. True love is made manifest because of God. His divine motivation from creation to the crucifixion was what? Love. John writes in the fourth chapter of his first letter, "Dear friends," in verse 7, "let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." I don't know how John could have been any clearer in telling us where love comes from, where love is generated from. What causes love to flourish? What truly is the mark of love? It's a God. He's our example. He's our teacher. He's our supplier. He's the giver of love. God is all about love. And Jesus would tell us that His disciples would be identified by genuine love. He said, "This is how they will know you are My followers. This is how people will know and identify that you truly are serious about a relationship with Me, by your love for one another. Not by what version of the Bible you carry. Not by what songs you sing in a Sunday assembly. Not by the wording of your prayers. Not by how you dress on Sunday. By your love." This is how the world will know Christ followers. So He said. Well, I wonder why that would be. Why would that be the identifying characteristic of people who truly followed Him and surrendered to Him and made Him Lord of their life and were given the Spirit of God to dwell within them? Why would the characteristic that would identify them be love? Why wouldn't it be? Of course, those who claim to be Christ followers, to be Christians, haven't always displayed that trait particularly well, have they? And when they haven't, what has the world been quick to do? To question the validity of Christianity, to question the reality of Christ, to question whether the Spirit really exists and works in the life of those who claim that He does. They have a field day, don't they? Attacking Christ and Christianity. Because even they recognize, you know what? There's something missing here. And it's love. Don't they? They recognize that. As well they should. For anyone who claims to be a child of God should have love as an attribute, as a trait, as a character trait, a quality that is obvious to everyone.
Amen?
Should be. But to be honest, to love like Jesus is not an easy thing. Jesus said, when you love one another as I've loved you, that's his, what he says, is that's the identifying mark. It is a difficult thing, a hard thing to love like Jesus. Can we admit that? Can we be honest about that? May I be so bold as to say, not only is it a hard thing, a difficult thing, it's an impossible thing to love like Jesus unless you have the love of Jesus in your heart. I'll say that again. It is an impossible thing to love like Jesus if you don't have the love of Jesus in your heart. I'm not capable of loving so unselfishly and so unconditionally as Christ loves me, and neither can you love that way. When it comes to loving the unlovable and the unlovely, I'm weak. My flesh gets in the way there. Anybody else have that issue? Don't get me wrong. I want to love like Jesus. I really do want to love like Jesus. At least I think I want to love like Jesus. Most of the time I want to love like Jesus. Except perhaps for those times when someone hurts me or makes me angry. Or when I'm particularly tired or sad. Then I find that my love bank's running pretty low. And then though I might say, yeah, I really want to love more like Jesus, but I don't want to. Do I really? I just don't seem to have what it takes. I don't seem to have what's needed to love people like Jesus loves me. I want it most of the time. I want it all of the time. But it just doesn't seem like I can. So what I guess I just need to do is to work harder at this. You know, and just to realize I'm commanded to do it, so I just got to do it. I'm just going to have to do it. I'm going to have to love you whether I want to or not. Right? Yeah, but just wanting to and knowing I need to is not enough. But praise God, I know where I can get enough. As a child of God, I have access to an abundant amount of love. My love bank account may be low, but I know where I can transfer some funds from. You with me? I know where I can gain access to all the love that I need. Romans 5:5 says that God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He's given us. Now I want you to hear that. God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is saying more than God has poured knowledge of His love into my heart. As wonderful and marvelous and good and powerful as this is, He's doing more than saying, you know what, I want you to know that I so love the world. And I want you to get that in your heart, that I love you. That's incredible that we can know that, we should know that, it's declared, and we can experience that God loves us. But it's more than He's just pouring into our hearts the knowledge that He loves us. He pours His love into our hearts, not the knowledge of His love. There's a difference. In the context of Romans 5, Paul is affirming the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that yes, perfect love was demonstrated in that God gave His Son, that Jesus died for the ungodly, the unlovely, the unlovable. The context says that, Romans 5:8 declares that. But in verse 5, he's carrying on with a conversation about how our character is developing in Christ. How when we hang in there with God through His Spirit, He develops our character. And hope does not disappoint us, He says, because God has poured His love into our hearts through His Spirit. Hear that. You don't have enough love, but He does. And He pours His love into our hearts so that we can not only begin to understand how much He truly loves us, but how now we can begin to love others like He loves us. That, see, by His Spirit, and what's the preeminent fruit of the Spirit? Love. What's the most excellent way? Love. What's the greatest spiritual gift? Love. Do we have the Spirit within us? Yes. What is He poured in by His Spirit? His love. His love. We have the ability, the capacity to love like we never could have loved on our own. So listen closely. Can't find it in your heart to forgive someone who hurt you? Having a hard time being kind to a neighbor who's anything but neighborly? Finding yourself more annoyed than overjoyed by some people God's sending your way? Are you ready to walk away from someone you were once absolutely convinced that God had brought into your life? Are you losing patience with not only difficult people, even with the people that you love, that you care about, that you know care about you, but you're having difficulty with patience with them? Are you feeling dried up and empty when it comes to serving others? Feeling spent? Like I don't have any more to give? Acknowledge that. Acknowledge that you're empty, because when you acknowledge that you're empty, guess what you're ready to be? Filled. When you acknowledge that you don't have it, God says, hey, you're right, you don't, but I have it to give to you. And I can equip you, and I can empower you, and I can help you, and I can make it so that you can love even those people that you can't stand. Pardon me? Yeah. Because it's not about them, it's about you. And it's not even about you, it's about Him. It's about Him. And what He's done for you and what He's still willing to do for you. So it's time, see, to open our hearts to let God pour in His love. In the process, yes, assuring us that He loves us with this incredible and this awesome and this amazing love. That He loves us that way. But again, that He will empower and equip us now to begin to love like He loves us. I've said this before. I actually mentioned it in our Discerning Disciples class today. But I'm afraid that too many of God's people treat God like they treat others too much of the time. They're looking for what they can get out of the relationship instead of looking for the relationship. Fixated again on what He will give me rather than on the fact that I have Him. The greatest blessing of all is that God loves us and that He will never forsake us or leave us. He will never, never sell us short. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us lonely. Ever. The most precious gift of love is God. And everything that He gives us is because He loves us, but let's not miss the point. That's not the stuff. It's not the blessings. It's not even heaven. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. And I find myself so often in prayer to Him, saying, God, I love You, but I know I don't love You enough. But I'm tweaking that prayer. God, just fill me more so I can love You more. So I can love others more. Will He supply it? Will He bless us in that? Absolutely. The way of love is the way of God. It's the way Jesus walked and lived and demonstrates how we're to. But not only does he call us to walk that way, he will empower us to do it. Open your hearts. Receive his love.